I was a brand new student pilot. Just had a few hours in the cockpit. Still a little nervous. And I took off. And I went up. And I turned. And I turned downwind. Those of you who are pilots, you know, turning downwind. And then I kept turning, came back in. I'm lining up on the runway. I'm getting ready to land. And, you know, I hadn't done this too many times. And I'm coming down. My hands are sweaty. I'm trying to make sure I've got all the checklists done. And I'm going through everything. And I'm bringing it down. I'm about 10 feet off the ground. 10 feet off the ground. And just at that moment, my instructor, these guys have nerves of steel, you know. He looks over at me and he says, "Go round." And I'm like, "What?" You know, the words, they're sensible enough. Go round, that makes sense. I had just gone around. Go round makes sense. If you think about it, it means keep going, don't land, just go around again. It's easy. But it freaked me out because I was brand new. It was the first time he'd ever tried anything. They do that stuff, you know. They put you in emergencies that you didn't expect. That's their job, partly. And it makes sense. You don't want your real emergency, your first real emergency, to be the first time you didn't expect something. And so, what he didn't know was that there was a tiny rule about this particular airplane that wasn't on any other kind of airplane. You see, the engine that was in this airplane had been used in many other airplanes. And this particular airplane had a couple of different engines that it could have. But when you put that particular engine in that particular airplane, they had one special rule. Don't push in the throttle faster than 2 seconds. 1001, 1002. I forgot the rule. And I was scared. And I reached up and I just hammered that throttle to the wall. Bam! Was about all I could have counted before it was from full out to full in. And the engine was purring nicely and went when we're 10 feet off the ground. Praise the Lord, it managed to go and start going again. And we went away from the airport. We were probably at 500 feet. We'd gained enough altitude. And we were probably a quarter of a mile off the end of the runway when he finally found his voice again. I won't tell you what he said. This man trusted me with his life. I can't figure it out. But he did. It was crazy, but he did. And so I want to think about our lives. Sometimes we treat our lives like God is a student pilot. And we're not really sure we can trust him. Sometimes we treat our lives like God isn't the pilot at all. Like we should stick him in the back seat or something. I want to consider the difference between real faith in God as the true pilot of our life and how we sometimes do it. You see, the Lord wants to do awesome things in our lives. God has tremendous plans for us. He wants to take us far beyond where we can imagine we could possibly go, because we've always just been puttering around on the ground, taxiing from place to place. And we think it's pretty cool because we got rudders and aileron, and we can drive it around the airport. Woohoo! And I'm going to get over there. We're going to get there someday. Yes, we will. I got an airplane. I got all the things I need. I'll get there. Just taxi on over there. God says, wait a minute. I can get you there better. I can fly you there. Fly! 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 I'm not real sure about that. Haven't done that before. Not sure I'm ready for that. You mean like off the ground fly? Yeah. You know, maybe it's safer right here. It can't crash if I'm already on the ground. And sometimes that's the way we treat God, isn't it? And I want to think over the next few weeks about faith and what it means and how we do it and where we're going. And so today I want to think about all of the things I can't think about all the things or I'd be here like way too long. But I want to think with you a little bit about what God wants to do in our lives. How he wants to take us beyond the clouds, beyond our imagination, beyond where we have decided we can go. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 8. Turn with me, Matthew chapter 8. In Matthew chapter 8, Jesus had a visitor. This was not the kind of visitor you would want to meet. How many of you have gotten your swine flu vaccine already? Got your swine flu? All right. Yeah. It's because you're worried about catching something, aren't you? Worried about catching the flu. Chapter 8 in Matthew, verse 1. When he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper. Want to catch something? That was catching your death right there. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Now think about that just for a minute. This leper comes up to Jesus. There's a crowd. The multitudes had followed him. Everybody's falling back, falling away. Scared to death of this guy. Jesus stands right there. And he comes up to Jesus. Jesus stands there. And he says to Jesus, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Think about what kind of faith that took. What kind of faith it would take, first of all, to even think about approaching. Because, number one, that wasn't what you did when you had leprosy, right? You stayed as far away from everybody as you could. Somebody who was bringing your food would bring it so far and then leave, and then you could come and get it. And in the meantime, you might shout at one another to say, hey, how you been doing? But you didn't get near enough to see each other eye to eye. So it took a lot of faith just to be able to come into his presence and then to ask for such a thing. Who'd asked for anything like that? What kind of a deal was that? Can you imagine asking God? Wouldn't that be a little presumptuous, a little audacious to come up and ask Jesus for such a thing? And yet he stepped forward in faith in Jesus to ask. And then he doesn't hem and haw about it. Do you think you can help me? Is this possible? Maybe, could you? I know you've done some other things. I don't know. Maybe I'm bothering you. What? None of that stuff. Look at what he says. You can make me clean. No ifs, ands, or buts. Total focus on Jesus right there. You can make me clean. But there was a little bit of iffiness there, wasn't there? A little bit. Let's take a look at that again. He says, Lord, if you are willing. So what I gather there is that he believed Jesus had the power. He wasn't sure Jesus had the willingness. Wow. Maybe he thought he was not worth it. Did you ever feel like that? Did you ever feel in Jesus' presence that, well, yeah, he does cool things for other people, but, you know, I'm not sure about me. Verse 3. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, not just be cleansed, but I am willing. Jesus is willing. Jesus is willing to go beyond what we're asking. Jesus is willing to do things for us we're hardly willing to ask him for. Jesus is willing to bless us so abundantly, so tremendously. God has 1,000 blessings waiting for us while we ask for one. God has wonderful things for us. He is so willing. Jesus says, I am willing to be cleansed. And not just that, but Jesus, it says in verse 3, put out his hand and touched him. Can you imagine what that meant to a man who perhaps for years had never been touched by another human being? Jesus was willing not just to say something, but to do something. He was willing to reach out to this man. That's incredible. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, Jesus tells us he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, right? Jesus says, I am willing that all come, everyone coming to repentance. Jesus is so willing to bless us. It's often we who are coming up to him going, I'm not sure, are you willing? Forget that. Jesus is willing to pile on the blessings. Jesus is willing to do beyond what we could ask or think. He is so willing. The very first vehicle I ever owned, the very first one, was a 1950-something or another. I don't even know what year this thing was. 1950-something or another Dodge panel truck. Yeah. I bought it for the amazingly exorbitant sum of $50. $50. And I got one of my buddies and we started working on this thing, you know, because we had hauled it home. My dad kindly hooked it to his truck and drug it home for me after we blew up the tires. And so we hauled this thing home and I started working on it. And we fixed on it and we fixed on it. I don't even know how old this thing was. I know it was older than I am. That's how old this thing was. So you know it was really old. And so I worked on it and I worked on it. And finally the day came and I put the key in turn the key, and it goes. And I'm like, woohoo! It's just started. The dog moved away from the back end of the truck in a big hurry, coughing vigorously. And it got started. And I'm like to my friend, let's go. And we piled into this thing. And we're down the road and we turned into this old farm and we're driving around this old farm. And then the cop came. And he says, can I see your license and registration? I said, well, there's a problem, officer. I'm only 15. Imagine how it is. At 15, you own your first vehicle, and you worked on it, and you messed with it, and you fixed stuff. And then you go, yeah, we'll start it later. What? Nah. We don't need to start it. You know, we fix stuff on it. It'll probably run. We don't need to actually drive it or anything. You know, what do we need to do that for? We fixed it. It's good. Why do we think God is like that? He comes into our lives, he fixes us, and then doesn't want to drive us. Why do we think that? Isn't it crazy? God is so anxious. If God could be anxious, he's so willing. He is so excited. I want to take him for a drive. I want to take him out for a spin. And we're like, ooh, hey, I don't know if this is safe. What? He's the one who fixed us. He's the one who took away our sin. He's the one who made us free again. And we're like, ooh, you know, I'm not real sure about this. Are you kidding me? God's a 15-year-old with a key, man. Let's go. Let's go. He's so willing. He wants to do for us so much. He wants to take us for a spin. Big prayers God wants to do for us. I want you to think about it for a minute. What do you hope for? What do you hope for? Our scripture today said faith is the evidence of. What do you hope for? What kind of evidence do you need? Do you need God to put your shoes on for you? No. He has great things for you. Adam was born into this world, had it all, and then blew it. And as God worked with us, he came to Abraham and he said, Abraham, I want to make my covenant with you. And Abraham looked forward to a country whose builder and maker was God in faith. It says Abraham. And it goes on, that chapter we read, talking about by faith, each of those patriarchs turned to God and said, let's go for a spin. Let's go. Let's do it. I'm looking for greater things. And heaven is going to be awesome, isn't it? Because we're looking for that. It's going to be wonderful. But what else do you hope for? Is that it? Is that all that God has for us? Or does God have things for us right in the here and now? Is God just saying, well, hey, I'm sorry, you know, you got to deal with this like everybody else, and, you know, really sorry, but, you know, really, I'll make it worth your while in the end. Is that it? Is that how God wants us to be? Or Can we hope for something else in this world, that God will actually work with us here on this earth and provide good things to us here on this earth, to make things happen, to be the God of this universe here and now? Is He willing to do that? Is He willing? I think we already talked about that. Can we reach beyond ourselves? You know the prayer John Knox prayed, right? Give me Scotland or I die. Well-known prayer. Do we pray for the salvation of others? Is that something we hope for, yearn for? Do we pray for it? Do we want it? Do we want it enough to pray like John Knox? Do we pray for the salvation of others? 3 John chapter 1, verse 2 says, Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. Do we pray for the prosperity of others? Or is it all wrapped up in us? Do we pray for the health of others? Do we pray for those in our church who are having physical difficulties as vigorously as we would pray if it were our own difficulties? If your liver didn't work, how seriously would you be praying today? Are you praying for Larry like that? Or do days go by where you go, ooh, Larry, yeah, You follow? What do we yearn for? What do we pray for? What do we want out of this? God has awesome stuff for us. You remember the prayer of Jabez? You remember that one where he prayed to enlarge his territory, right? To reach out beyond himself, to go beyond what he wants. God wants to bless us that way. God wants to bless us bigger than ourselves. God has awesome things planned for us, amazing things. He's promised to do great things for us. Yes, as we pray, we should pray in harmony with God's will, no doubt. No doubt about that. When we pray, Jesus said, we should pray in His name. Not just tack on those three words at the end of the prayer, in Jesus' name, you know? But mean that we're praying within His will, right? We should be praying in accordance with what He would desire. But doing so, He says He will grant us so much. He promises great things. God has amazing things if we'll reach beyond ourselves. Isaiah, turn with me to Isaiah, the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 38. Isaiah chapter 38. Isaiah had been sent to the king, King Hezekiah. And he had a message for the king. It's not a message you'd want to hear. Not just because he was telling the king to get his act together, but why he was telling him to get his act together. Isaiah 38, verse 1, In those days Hezekiah was sick and near death, and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, went to him and said to him, Thus says the Lord, set your house in order. All right, I'm all right with that. Uh-oh. For you shall die and not live. Wait a minute, can we discuss this? Right? How about door number two, Monty? Right? Do we have another option here? When God comes and says, this is it, get your stuff together because you're going to die, that's pretty much it, isn't it? But what happened? Verse 2, Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed to the Lord. and said, "Remember now, O Lord, I pray, how I have walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart and have done what is good in your sight." And Hezekiah did what? Wept bitterly. Hezekiah was turning to the Lord, asking the Lord for a blessing. "Lord, honor my faith. Honor my faith. I'm turning to you now," he says. Verse 4, "And the word of the Lord came to Isaiah, saying, 'Go and tell Hezekiah, thus says the Lord, the God of David your father, I have heard your prayer.'" Does God mess around? Does God mess around? Hezekiah prayed. Did God hear his prayer? When Hezekiah wept bitterly, when Hezekiah was repentant, was giving God his whole heart, did God hear this? Absolutely. And I get the feeling that Isaiah was hardly out of the castle when it's like, "I got to go back. I got to go back and tell Hezekiah what the Lord says in response to his prayer." Does God answer prayer? Absolutely. Absolutely. And so he says, "Thus says the Lord, the God of David your father, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Surely I will add to your days 15 years. And Hezekiah, whew, breathes a sigh of relief. Whew, 15 years, all right, good. But you see, God didn't want to just do what Hezekiah had asked. God wanted to go beyond Hezekiah, to reach out beyond just his own concerns for himself, to reach out to others, to what was happening around him. And so it says, verse 6, "I will deliver you and this city," God says, "from the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city." We can debate how Hezekiah used those 15 years. That's not the point. The point was God blessed him in response to his prayer, but God wanted to take flight, go beyond, bless the whole city, bless the nation for Hezekiah's benefit here. God wants to do so much. We need to pray bigger prayers. We need to reach beyond, go farther, think beyond ourselves. And look what God did further. And he says, verse 7, "And this is the sign to you from the Lord, that the Lord will do this thing which he has spoken." Verse 8, "Behold, I will bring the shadow on the sundial, which has gone down with the sun, on the sundial of Ahaz, 10 degrees backwards." What? 10 degrees backwards? Who ever heard of that? Wow, what a God we serve. And it says straightforward right after that, "So the sun returned 10 degrees on the dial by which it had gone down." What a God we serve. A God who isn't content with little things. God who wants to do big things, go beyond us, touch lives that we had never thought to touch in ways we had never guessed he would. Does that mean, wow, cool, everything I ask for, I'll get? All my life will be rosy from here? No. What it means is God can use you to bless others in ways you never guessed. Doing things that you never thought possible. Maybe even painful things. And yet God will use them to bless others. God wants to do big things in your life. God wants to reach beyond us. God wants to do so much that there won't be room to receive it. You heard Patty talk about all the clothes, and we had to say, stop, stop. It's way too much here. God wants to pour clothes into your lives like that. And other stuff too. God wants to do things so that you can bless others, to reach out beyond yourself. God is willing and calls on us to pray bigger prayers. It's beautiful what God wants to do in our lives, and He can do it. If He can make the sundial go back 10 degrees, man, what you want to do is still too small, probably. God has awesome, awesome things to do in your life. So, what are you dreaming? What are you dreaming for Lakeland? What are you dreaming for God to do through you? Have you thought about it? Maybe God is in your pilot seat saying, time to go round. Time to go round. Time to push in that throttle. Gain altitude, back into the sky. Let's go round. Let's do it again. Oh, but God, I'm tired. I wanted to land and rest. No, let's go round. I got good things for you. I have awesome things planned in your life. God has wonderful things for you. He wants to go. Are you dreaming of the clouds? Or looking at the cracks in the pavement? Ooh, watch out, there's crack. Ooh, that might upset us. Forget the cracks. Let's go for the sky. God has wonderful things planned for us. And He desires a deeper relationship with Himself. A relationship with Him that we have not been ready for, maybe. Do you remember there was a lady once? You know, she thought about it. When should she go out? If I go out in the morning, there'll be people out there because it's cooler. If I wait for everybody to get off work, there'll be people then. I'll go in the middle of the day. There won't be anybody there in the middle of the day. I won't have to mess with people. I won't have to talk with them. I won't have to listen to them. I won't have to hear them. I can stay away from everybody. Do you remember that? John chapter 4, are you with me? John chapter 4. John chapter 4, she goes out with her pot to get water in the middle of the day. Why? Because she didn't want to see people, didn't want any relationships, didn't want to entangle herself with difficult issues, shall we say. And yet, for all that she did to avoid any kind of relationship, how odd that inside she longed for a deeper connection with God. She wanted something more than she was getting from the teachers there in her country, and she longed in her soul to meet someone who could bring her to a higher level. And she met Jesus there at the well that afternoon. I wonder about us sometimes. We keep our windows closed. We keep our air conditioners on. We don't go out to the front porch. we go out to our cars and our garage and we get in and we don't get out or open the window or talk with anyone except maybe to blow the horn in between going wherever we're going. And we get to where we're going. We do our jobs. We maintain our little cubicles. We go home. We screen our phone calls. We don't answer the door without looking out the window, and on it goes in order to avoid contact. And yet our hearts scream out for a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ. And as she talked with Jesus, he revealed himself to her in a way that was way beyond what he was willing to do with almost anyone else. Take a look, verse 25, John chapter 4, verse 25. The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming. Can you hear her fishing? Can you hear her fishing? Who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." And she's fishing. "Can you tell me? Can you tell me? I want to know. I want a relationship. Please." Was Jesus willing? Was Jesus willing? Was Jesus able? Or did Jesus go, that's good. He's coming. Yeah. No way. Verse 29, Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." I'm not sure we can catch the emotional tidal wave that swept over her, the tremendous power in those simple words that Jesus spoke, so plainly and clearly revealing himself to this woman who, by all accounts, was trying desperately to avoid any kind of contact with the world. And here she is in contact with the divine. And Jesus pours it out on her, pours loose a flood of divine light. What a beautiful thing. Jesus wants to do that with each one of us, to reveal himself in ways that we can't imagine yet. God wants to do things in our lives through us as well, so that we might in turn reach others. He has a work for us to do. Did you know scientists have decided that maybe, just maybe, the appendix has a use after all? Huh, what do you know? Did you know that you are not the appendix of the body of Christ? He talks about hands and feet. He talks about eyes and ears. He talks about us being parts of the body that function for him. God has a work for you to do. He wants to take us around again. God wants to take us out for a spin. God wants to not only add 15 years to our lives, but to bless a whole city for us and do things that have never been done before, things that have never been seen before, turning the clock back 10 degrees. He wants to reveal himself to you in a way that reaches deep to your soul and touches your life. God has beautiful things for you today. He longs to bless us. He will bless us. He's able to bless us. He's waiting to bless us. This week, I want you to consider where God wants you to fly. What wonderful things God has in store for you. How can you use the gifts God has given you to bless others? Where does He want you to fly today? You've maybe heard it said, go big or go home, right? I say to you, let's go big so that we can go home. God has big things for us. Let's be on His plan, the big plan. And God will bless us with big things. It's beautiful. I hope that this week you will be praying how God will bless you, how God wants to use you. But watch out. He might just tell you to go round.